We're going to have our reading now, and Diane's coming to do that for us.
The reading today for this lovely Pentecost day is Acts 2, verse 1 to 21 in the NIV, and it's on page 1093. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native tongue?" Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of our God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Just welcome Ben to come up and share with us now. Can I pray for you?
Yeah, please do.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you for Ben. Thank you for what you have given him to share with us. We pray for open ears and hearts as he shares this now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hello. I do like your church. I've been here before. You've been a blessing to me when I've been here. I came to do some practice. I'm part of Kairos Church. We're a slightly different way of being an Anglican church, which means we don't have tons of baptisms, weddings, funerals. And so I came here to be taught by Francis how to do funerals. I've done a couple in the church and a couple with Francis at the crematorium. Which was a real blessing and was helpful. Although I have to say, you're a lot more cheerful than the people that I've led services for in this building before. Perhaps it's slightly different circumstances. I think that's all you need. That's all I'm going to say about myself. We've heard the story of Pentecost twice now. Holy Spirit comes, shaking, fire. Excitement, and then it spills out onto the streets. And I simply want to ask you this morning, do you want that? Do you want the Holy Spirit? Do you want the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you want the Holy Spirit in your church? I see some nods. That's brilliant. But I want to ask, do you really want that? Lots of us think we want the Holy Spirit. We describe ourselves as open to the Holy Spirit. But do we really want him? Listen to the Pentecost story again. Rushing wind fills the house. Tongues of fire appear on each of them. They speak in strange languages. The people out on the streets say, those crazy people look like they're drunk. Do you want the Holy Spirit? I want to share a little bit of my journey with the Holy Spirit, if that's all right, because I think that that might help us decide. I think my first encounter, I don't know when I first encountered the Holy Spirit, but the first time I remember was when I was 12. I was on a mission trip in the summer with a brilliant mission organisation. We practice dances for a week and read the Bible, and then we go perform them in shopping centres and try and get people to hear about Jesus. It was lots of fun and hilarious and terrifying at the same time. And one of the times we went was just when there was kind of a fresh wave of Holy Spirit stuff hitting the church. And so we all got together at the end of a day, and someone said, well, we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit. And I thought, great. I was 12. I didn't have a clue. And praying started. And there was a bit of noise. And then everybody else, to my 12-year-old head, everybody else fell down. And I felt absolutely nothing, and I was stood there. And I kind of looked around and was processing as a 12-year-old. I'd not a clue, really, and thought, well, everyone's fallen down. Perhaps I should. So I lay on the floor. And then I got up, and something didn't feel right. Not that what had happened to other people, but that I'd done something that wasn't true. I'd pretended to make a response when actually there hadn't been that happening. And that kind of clouded my understanding, I think, of the Holy Spirit for quite a while. And then it didn't help that I went to a large charismatic church when I was at university, who were a little bit crazy. Did anyone go to the Rend Collective on Friday? So my church used to meet in that nightclub before it was the O2 Academy. So it was brilliant that you were worshipping there because you were giving it its proper purpose again. Saw a couple of bits on Instagram and I was happy. Was happy for the Roxy because you were worshipping there again. I went there and there was lots of Holy Spirit stuff, which meant people were shouting. People were falling over. Strange languages were being spoken. And I was equally attracted and terrified. Because I like to understand what's going on. I like to be in control. Anyone else like to be in control and understand what's happening? Yep. And I didn't. And so I had this kind of attraction-repulsion thing going on with the Holy Spirit. Do you want the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit causes offence, causes disturbance, causes mess. I love this quote from the Pentecostal writer Tozer. He says this: after a person is convinced they can be filled with the Spirit, they must desire to be. Are you sure you want to be possessed by a Spirit who, while he's pure and gentle and wise and loving, will yet insist upon being the Lord of your life? Do you want a Holy Spirit who will insist on being the Lord of your life? Now, the Holy Spirit is more fun than a Swedish Eurovision Song Contest show. Really is. But he will insist on being Lord of your life. Gently, lovingly, in control, not you. Being Lord of your church. Do you want that? I've got to be honest. I really do. I'm fed up of living a Christian life that's not making an impact on other people. Fed up of nice church and being part of it. I'm not talking about you, talking about mine. You are nice, I'm not saying that. Fed up of going through the motions. I want the Holy Spirit, but I know that that means I've got to let the Spirit be Lord of my life. A couple of things have helped with this. I think I've got more charismatic as I've got older. I'm 37 now, so I think I can describe myself as a little bit older, maybe. And as I've got a little bit older, the Holy Spirit stuff has woken up in me a bit. One of the things that's helped with that is I've realised that he doesn't always do the same thing in everyone all the time. So the people falling down, the shaking, all of that stuff is the Holy Spirit, and it's brilliant, but it doesn't always happen like that. And sometimes it works with personality, and sometimes it's a bit quieter. Sometimes it's peaceful. When God appears to Elijah in the Old Testament, there's thunder and fire and all that, and then it's a still small voice. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, God, comes to us and it's like a quiet voice. And sometimes it's like a tidal wave that knocks you over. And that's good. I've also learned to love that. Because I've also realised that it's not the outside stuff that matters. It's not what people do when the Holy Spirit arrives that is the thing, that's the point. It's the inside stuff. It's the inside changes that the Holy Spirit brings that release us to live in different ways. That's the important thing. And that's why I really want the Holy Spirit in my life. Because I want to be changed on the inside so I can live differently. I'd love us to think about three things the Holy Spirit does that I see in this Acts passage, and actually I see throughout the Bible. The Holy Spirit seals, the Holy Spirit sends, and the Holy Spirit saves. I don't often alliterate, but I've managed to this morning. I'm pleased with myself. The Holy Spirit seals, the Holy Spirit sends, the Holy Spirit saves. The Holy Spirit seals. Ephesians 1:13 says this: "You were included in Christ when you believed the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." If you've got a really posh bit of silver jewellery, beer tankards, plate, something really, really valuable that someone with a lot of skill has put together, you will often find a mark on it, a seal, and it points to who made it. Their identifying mark on that valuable piece of jewellery. If you were to send, in ancient times, an important message, obviously you didn't have email or WhatsApp, so you had to put it on paper. And you'd seal that with hot wax. And if it was really, really important, and you were a significant person, and you wanted the people reading it to know that this was genuinely your words, real representation of what you thought, you'd get the seal that was on your ring, or maybe on your desk, and you'd stamp the wax. So that when the letter was opened, the first thing people would see is, this is the mark of that lord or that king or queen or this important person. We can trust what this says because it's sealed. If you're cooking a really nice bit of meat, a steak, and you're wanting to do it in the right way, often you will get the pan hot first and just sear each side. Seal it so that the good stuff, the juice and the flavour, doesn't leak out. The Holy Spirit seals us, puts a mark of identity upon us, makes sure the good stuff doesn't leak out through life. Why does he seal us? He seals us so that we know who we really are. So many of us are defined by our relationships with other people. What's going on in our lives? The Holy Spirit says you're to be defined by being a child of the loving God, your Father, who's crazy about you, who smiles when you walk in the room, who's also the King who happens to own everything. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing, sealing that identity on you. So, when some of the weird stuff happens that some of you may have occasionally seen the Holy Spirit do, which does happen, people shaking or things like that, I think often it's about sealing happening. God doing something in them. Often when I pray for people about the Holy Spirit, sometimes there's tears or laughter. I think that's God doing something deep in their heart, sealing something. And some of us, like me, are introverts and keep our emotions very hidden, and so nothing external seems to happen, but still we know the Holy Spirit's sealing something in us. The Holy Spirit seals. Do you want the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit sends. I love that this party in the upper room spills out onto the street. Straight off, the people are going. And people are noticing, who are these drunkards? And then Peter jumps up and speaks. Peter, who not that long before had said he never knew Jesus. Peter, who's probably had a few issues to work through in the weeks between Easter and Pentecost. Peter, who has been hiding in the little room with the other disciples, jumps up, is sent out, and starts to speak. Why does he speak with such confidence? Because he's been sealed. Because the Holy Spirit's done something in him, and his identity has been set, so he knows who he is now. And he starts to preach. And the rest of the disciples are right there with them. And then Acts explodes. And Peter and John go to a temple, and there's a lame person, and they pray for them, and he's healed. And persecution happens, so they spread all across Israel and the surrounding areas. And churches pop up as lots of people get into this. And Philip suddenly finds himself transported somewhere and meets an Ethiopian. And Peter has a vision of pigs and stuff coming from the sky, and then a call from a Roman, and goes and talks to them. Goodness me, people who aren't Jewish can become Christians. Wow, isn't it exciting? It explodes because the Holy Spirit sends out into mission. The Holy Spirit sends. Those of you who know a bit about Kairos are probably thinking, yeah, you would say that. You're from Kairos. Yeah, we believe in mission. We love that stuff. Discipleship and mission, we love it. But we believe it's for everyone because the Holy Spirit sends. You don't have to be special to go to a weird church to be sent. You don't have to have particular giftings. You don't have to be a particular personality. Everyone is sent. If you love Jesus and you have the Holy Spirit, you're sent. Sent to your workplace, sent to your school, sent to the community centre you hang out in, sent to your toddler group, sent to your swimming club. You're sent. Sent as a child of God and a representative of God's kingdom. The Holy Spirit sends. Do you want to be sent? Do you want to spill out into the high street and all of Starbeck? Do you want God's kingdom to erupt? The Holy Spirit sends. You may well want more of the Holy Spirit. Finally, the Holy Spirit saves. Now, in case some of you go back to Mark and say, I'm not sure your cura is theologically sound, let me just put a tiny nuance on that. Jesus has saved, done everything we need. On the cross, we were rescued from living life without God and having to muddle through and face the consequences of our shame and actions and face onwards going without God's presence in our life and all the fear and pain that includes. We were saved from that and rescued and brought into a new eternal life. Jesus has saved. But so often the process by which that salvation is worked out is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit saves because the Holy Spirit opens up being rescued in people's lives. This is how it happens. The Holy Spirit sends you and your mates in church, sends you out into the community where the Holy Spirit's already working, saving people. So, salvation and transformation happens. It's amazing. You run Alpha here sometimes, don't you? I love Alpha. Like, imagine how many people have been rescued through Alpha. I bet there's some stats somewhere because they don't miss a trick on publicity, but I haven't read it. But loads and loads and loads. One of the reasons I think Alpha is so effective at saving is it emphasizes the Holy Spirit so much. There's a day for the Holy Spirit and it influences everything else. And so people get to experience the saving as they learn about it. We did an Alpha a year ago at Kairos, and I saw this happening, and it's just beautiful. There was a homeless guy, have got some significant stuff going on in his life, like lots of us. Wasn't sure what he thought about God, but quite liked Alpha and quite liked our church. And we did the praying bit, and we prayed, and there was some external things happening. And then I chatted to him afterwards. I said, so what was going on? He said, I felt loved. I felt warm. It was like goodness all through me. After that, he did decide to follow Jesus. Life's been up and down for him, but he did. The Holy Spirit works to save. I'm watching this with other people at our church right now who are kind of getting connected and joining in and then being open to prayer, and God's just doing stuff. And it's hilarious. He's brilliant at doing stuff, is God. This can be quite dramatic. In Acts, 3,000 people were saved. Pretty good. On one day. Or it can be quiet and gentle, and you getting to know one person, sharing life with them, blessing them, being part of living with them. They get to hear a bit of your story. You start praying for them, and stuff happens. Some of you probably have experiences like that. Some of you may even be here because someone did that to you. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit saves. We're sent, and he does something so that people get to know Jesus and are saved. The Holy Spirit seals our identity. Do you want that? Do you find sometimes you're suddenly scared and you don't quite understand why? I used to live a ton of my life being anxious and fearful and think, if you guys really knew what I'd done, you'd run a mile. And it defined me so I'd get short of breath when I'm talking. I'd avoid conversations. In one-to-one conversations, my main agenda would be, how can I get out of this conversation as quickly as possible? And as I've been woken up to the work of the Holy Spirit, I've found that that started to change because there's been a sealing on me. Do you want to be sealed? You want the Holy Spirit. Do you want to be sent to get out there and live as a Christian who makes a difference around you, who starts transforming the world? Do you want to see salvation? If the answer to that is yes, then I'd suggest that though it means making him Lord of your life, you do want God in you, in your life, in your church, fully present. And the really good news is that God gives that because he loves it. He gives us the Holy Spirit. And the way that often happens is just by people asking. So we're going to do that in a moment, but just take 30 seconds. Just chew over in your head. Do you want the Holy Spirit? Do you really want the Holy Spirit? With all that mess and sending and sealing and saving, do you want the Holy Spirit? And if the answer's yes, and maybe the Holy Spirit nudges you about one of those particular S's that he'd want to do, if the answer's yes, then in a moment, I'd love us to stand up. Think for a moment. Do you want the Holy Spirit? If it's a yes, then we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us. You can get prayer later into more detailed stuff. We're just going to pray for everyone and receive the Spirit now. So if the answer's yes, first time or 55th time, yes, I want the Holy Spirit, would you stand and would you hold your hands out just as a sign that you're up for receiving him? There's a really ancient prayer that I love. Simple. It says, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people. Kindle in us the fire of your love. So we ask that now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill the hearts of your people. Kindle in us the fire of your love. Just receive You might start thinking of a Bible verse or a picture. You might feel something happening. You might find you're crying or joyful. You might find nothing at all. Doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit's working. Just receive. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill us. Renew us. You can feel something happening, just say, and it feels good, then just say, thank you, God, I'd like a bit more. If you can't feel anything, that's okay. Just keep praying. The Holy Spirit will work. Just say, come, Holy Spirit, fill me. That identity thing is particularly important. If that's the thing, the ceiling that's caught your attention, that you've got a nudge on, just put a hand on your heart and pray. Ask the Spirit to seal who you are. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us. Seal our true identity. Children of the Beloved. Sons and daughters of the Almighty King. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people. Kindle in us the fire of your love. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people, kindle in us the fire of your love. Some of you may just feel tired, that this current season is a burden and is hard. Receive the Holy Spirit again. Let him refresh you. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us. We're going to stay standing. We're going to sing a song of worship together.